You're listening to That Sports Show, hosted by Teja Chimudapati. Get ready for a jam-packed podcast of all sports, all the time.
Welcome to the first episode of That Sports Show. I'm Teja Chimudapati, broadcasting from San Diego, California. Well, let's see, before we get going tonight, I'm going to just start off by breaking a news story. Pac-Man Jones has been released from the Dallas Cowboys. I gotta say, long time coming, man. Long time coming. I don't know why the Cowboys picked him up in the first place after the Titans let him go. I don't know what attracts Jerry Jones to Pac-Man Jones and other players such as T.O. that have just been poisoned to the team. That's a different subject though, T.O. We'll get to that sometime. But for now, Pac-Man Jones has been let go, and reports have surfaced that the reason that the Cowboys finally decided to release him is because of a shooting reports of a shooting in 2007. Apparently, Pac-Man Jones hired some men to shoot at his enemies, at some other group of people on the street. I don't know. Who knows? This guy's a mess. I think we've had about enough from using $80,000 worth in cash at a nightclub for, quote, visual effect, unquote, and carrying a gun, all this stuff. Let's just be happy that it's done. You know, the Cowboys may have the nickname America's Team, but recently they have been nothing like what that name would denote. Tony Romo's been a mess. The Cowboys have again lost in the playoffs. Expect to see a lot of big changes on that team in the offseason. Anyway, tonight, we're going to be predicting this weekend's NFL playoff games. We got a lot of good ones. Let's start off by talking about Pittsburgh and San Diego. San Diego at Pittsburgh, actually, at Heinz Field. I gotta say though, this game I predict is either gonna be very, very tight or a complete blowout by Pittsburgh. And the reason I say that is looking back into the last time these two met in November, when San Diego was at Pittsburgh, and with that weird 11-10 score, never before done in the NFL, and well, not never before. In recent years, it has been seen. That game really, really is a kind of a staple of the way that Steelers play the game. They held Phillip Rivers to 15 of 26 passing and 164 yards. Now, for an NFL quarterback, 164 yards, I mean, this guy's no rookie. He's used to 200, 300-yard games, and the Steelers' defense really, really held him down that night. He also had two interceptions, which definitely didn't help. It should have been three, but towards the end of the game, the refs waved off Troy Polamalu's return for a touchdown, and immediately after cited that shouldn't have been overturned and should have been three interceptions, and an extra 7 points added to the Steelers' score. Anyway, that game, LT carried 18 times for 57 yards and one touchdown. But again, for LaDainian Tomlinson, that's a very bad night. He's had a tough season. A lot of people are talking about letting him go. Obviously not the diehard Chargers fans, but a lot of people that follow football in San Diego, there's been talk about it. I disagree. I think he's one of the greatest, obviously a Hall of Famer, and I really think he's just having a bad year. But we'll see. I mean, it's not like he's been on a Madden cover or anything, right? again, going back to last time these two met, Pittsburgh, as I said, had two, really three interceptions, and I expect to see the same this weekend. I predict a score of, let's see, Pittsburgh 30, San Diego 17, and maybe getting a last-minute touchdown and, you know, getting the score up to 24-30. But I don't see this one going the Chargers way, excuse me. But definitely, I think it'd be a game worth watching for, as I said, one or two reasons. Either it's going to be really close and exciting, or it'll be a complete blowout. And for those of you that want to see a defense in action, check out the Steelers. Speaking of defense, the Chargers haven't been that good this year. I mean, they lost Sean Merriman in the beginning of the year with that injury. And Cromartie hasn't been what he was last year, you know, with all the interceptions. I believe he had 6 last year, actually. He really hasn't done much. The only bright spot, I'd say, this year for San Diego, you know, aside from LT having a really bad year, Phillip Rivers once again proving he really can't throw over 25 yards, and Vincent Jackson getting a DUI a couple days before an NFL playoff game, the only positive spot, I'd say, has been Darren Sproles. I mean, that guy ran that ball, caught that ball, returned that ball. He did anything and everything that you can do on the football field last game against the Colts when the Chargers beat him in overtime. Honestly, I think the reason the Chargers won that game, other than a superhuman performance by Darren Sproles, is winning the coin toss in overtime, you know. So, as I've said, expect to see a tough, tough defense hounding San Diego's offense and led by Phillip Rivers. I really do want to see San Diego win this game, being a fan down here, but I don't see it happening. And when it doesn't happen, whether it's the game coming up this weekend or if by some lucky chance they get by and they lose the game next week, I see Norv Turner either being fired or at least being considered a very bad coach in the league right now. He's had his moments, but he's definitely lacking in what a head coach should be doing. Player prediction for this game: Troy Polamalu. I'm gonna say he's gonna have one interception, at least 2 pass deflections, and a fumble recovery. I'm going on a limb here with these specifics, but that's my prediction. Let's see how it pans out. All right, so moving right along. Next game we're going to preview, this is a Saturday night game. That would be Baltimore Ravens and Tennessee Titans. Now the interesting thing about this game is, in a way, it's sort of a rematch. If you remember, Super Bowl 35, held in Florida back in 2001, that, fun fact, Backstreet Boys performed the national anthem there. I remember watching it, I remember asking why, and I remember enjoying the music. So, getting back to the game. This is a type of rematch because Kerry Collins was a quarterback of the New York Giants when he faced the Baltimore Ravens in that Super Bowl. Now, I think a good parallel game for the one coming up this weekend, and you guys know I like to do this, is Super Bowl 35. And yes, there have been many personnel changes on the Ravens since then, and I understand that Kerry Collins is on the Tennessee Titans, who looked like they were going to go undefeated this season. But still, in that game, he had 4 interceptions, causing, you know, Ray Lewis to become MVP of that Super Bowl. They lost 34-7. He was held under 150 yards. It just was not a very good Super Bowl for him. Hopefully he'll get to overcome that this weekend, but we'll see how it goes. He's really, really impressive for a guy his age. I mean, he's getting up there in years, and I guess his experience has really surpassed anything that his age could hinder. So it'd be really interesting to see how this goes. My prediction for this game, again, I'd say defense wins championships. So I'm going to have to pick the Ravens. I'm going to have to pick the upset. The Ravens have been unstoppable the last couple games, and no one's really predicted anything about them getting this far, you know, at the beginning of the season or even in the middle. I agree Joe Flacco could be the turning point in the game and that he could give it away, but I'll have to say Flacco keeps keeps his interceptions under two or three. I'd say two. If he throws less than two interceptions, Falcons win this game. Willis McGay looks like he's been getting a step back. I expect to see him explode in this game. He's been quiet for a long time, and you know what they say about dormant volcanoes becoming active all of a sudden. Again, I don't know how long that guy's going to be in this league just because of the injuries that have plagued him, his inconsistency, but I'm predicting a big game for him coming up this weekend. I'd say final score, Tennessee Titans 21, Baltimore Ravens 24. It'll be a tight game, but I think it'll be obvious that the Ravens are leading it and really charging forward in that game throughout the four quarters. Now, Ed Reed has been phenomenal. He's had multiple interceptions for the last couple games, and I expect to see him be just as active. So that's another added threat, and you always have Ray Lewis in there, and the Ravens, their defense is just pounding the offense over and over. Ultimately, it looks like this year is going to be an all-defensive team. I expect to see whatever team that makes it into the Super Bowl, and even, like I'd say, the Final Four, are going to play to their strength, which would be their defenses. You don't see that very often. You know, usually you have, much like the Tampa Bay-Oakland Super Bowl, what was that, 6, 7, 8, I don't even know, many, many years ago, where you have the best offense in the league against the best defense. I don't see a game being that lopsided this year. I'm predicting that the teams that will advance to the stage right before the Super Bowl, those playoff games will have very strong defensive-minded teams, and expect to see that shift starting to occur this weekend. As I've said, expect to see Baltimore Ravens stunning everyone, including myself, even though I make this prediction. That will be a sight to see them top the Titans. But either or, it's going to be a great game. I'm making this one the game to watch this weekend. Obviously, Chargers and Steelers will be interesting as well. But if you had to watch one game this weekend, make it. All right, our third game this weekend is going to be Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers. And the most important statistic or important fact about this series is the fact that Carolina is 8-0 at home. 8-0. That's going to be really tough to upset by the Cardinals. A lot of people might say that, you know, that with Edgerrin James back and actually in the offense, that he might be a factor and could lead the Cardinals into upsetting the Panthers, but I really don't see that happening. The Panthers are too good, too strong at home. Jake DeLome has been pretty solid, although sometimes he may be inconsistent, but overall he's been solid. And D'Angelo Williams lit up the red zone this year. He had 18 touchdowns to lead the league in scores this year, so expect to see him get a lot of carries and reps and multiple touchdowns. Steve Smith has been relatively quiet. He did have 1,400 yards plus receiving in the regular season, 6 touchdowns to go with that. But I expect Williams and end-arounds to Smith being the two most popular plays in the Panthers' playbook this weekend. That's just because of the Cardinals' defense. They had a good game against the Falcons last weekend, a really good game. But I don't see that happening again. I think that was a fluke. Personally, I think Atlanta should have won that game. And Matt Ryan and his team should advance. But hey, maybe I'm just being biased here because I'd really like to see Matt Ryan go places. But getting back to this game, Kurt Warner matched up with against Jake DeLome. Warner, again, getting up in the years, much like Collins. You remember he was with the Rams all those years winning the 2 Super Bowls. And I've decided after watching many, many games that have just been on TV, not even trying to watch Cardinals games, that Larry Fitzgerald is the best wide receiver in the game today. I know that's very controversial, and you can always bring up Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Steve Smith, all these really, really reputable guys. But Larry Fitzgerald has had minimal off-the-field incidents. He did have some legal issues this year, but he's kept it quiet, and he's focused on the game. He's addressed all issues and really, you know, kept his head in the game. So if I could have any wide receiver in the NFL on my team in the fourth quarter making a game-winning drive, it would be Larry Fitzgerald, hands down. He's the most athletic, he has the best hands, the most reliable, and he will do what you say, whether you're the coach, the quarterback, or the offensive coordinator. So getting back to the prediction, I'd say Panthers over Cardinals, 20-13. That's kind of a weird score, but I have my reasons. I have my reasons. I predict that Cardinals will have two field goals to start off the half, and then they'll score a touchdown. So that would be the 13. And Panthers, I'm going to predict a quick start, maybe some unforced turnovers in there. But I'm going to say they're going to make three touchdowns and miss the extra point in one of them, leading to the 20-point win. So that is the Panthers over the Cardinals this weekend, Saturday, 5:15 Pacific, 8:15 Eastern. Finally, our fourth game of this weekend is the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. This is an old-school matchup with the East Coast. We have Donovan McNabb coming back into the playoffs, his team being a factor. I mean, about a week and a half ago, and even less, the Eagles really didn't see their season going anywhere because they needed Tampa to lose, Chicago to lose. They had all these factors that just seemed insurmountable, but they, as luck would have it, they got in, and they got it done in their first game. But this game, upcoming game against the Giants, I'd have to say is their best chance at trying to get an upset, but Eli Manning and Brandon Jacobs are just too good, and I don't think they're going to let it happen. Manning had 3,200 yards this season with 21 touchdowns, and Brandon Jacobs, 15 touchdowns on the ground with over 1,000 yards rushing. I see the Eagles putting up quite a fight in this game, but ultimately I think the Giants are going to they're not going to let anything come in their way to try and get that second championship, two in a row. The experience that the Giants have had over the last couple of years, and just the maturity that's been present, especially in Eli Manning. He's calmer, he's making quick decisions, but they're good decisions. He has better pass protection. Even with the OCU when you're out early on, they've rebounded and their defense has picked it up. So I see the Eagles having a hard time with this one. I think the Eagles are a little bit too old. They have DeSean Jackson, the rookie wide receiver, and a couple other guys that are on the younger side. But I think the Eagles are a little bit outdated. At the end of the season, again, this is another team, the Eagles, that I predict are going to have the coach quarterback talk, where they're going to try to figure out what to do to change the offensive system. I don't think Donovan McNabb is going to be let go. I'll give him another year or two. But Andy Reid, as good as he is, there's certainly going to be some more questions raised about him. Kind of similar to the Seattle situation, really, with Mike Holmgren and Matt Hasselbeck. Seattle, as a city, had a horrible year, as ESPN reported. But football in general, the Seahawks just went downhill. And Mike Holmgren going to take a sabbatical off for 1 year. So that kind of, I guess, is a change in Seattle. And Matt Hasselbeck might not be going anywhere. I don't see him going anywhere. But definitely with the Eagles, I think if they lose to the Giants and don't advance, there are going to be some changes that will take place. Specifically, I think either McNabb would have to be traded, which I don't see happening. So I say Reed would be let go, or very close to being let go or talked to or something, because that guy has been in Philadelphia for a very long time and something's just not working. Philadelphia defense, obviously, they always have been good over the last 4 to 5 years, but again, age factor, Lito Shepherd. Lito Shepherd often being benched. He really isn't that big of a factor anymore. And Daryl Dawkins is, you know, the leader of that team. But again, he too is getting up in the years. I realized late 20s and early 30s isn't really that old, but in football, that's a lot to be up against when you're playing 20-year-olds straight out of college, out of their first or second year. But prediction for this game, I see the New York Giants ultimately winning it. I'd say this would be a pretty good offensive game. So, but with the Giants defense, I'd say the Giants win 21-17. Again, giving Philadelphia that last-minute touchdown or field goal score. 21-17, New York Giants. And there you have it, folks. Those are the four games going on this weekend. Be sure to check your local broadcasting schedule to see when they're on. There are no more blackouts. Thank goodness that we get to watch these games. Hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy it. Spend some time with the family. And spend a lot of time with the football. Again, best of luck to you and the rest of your week. I hope to see you again back here next week for another edition of That Sports Show. I'm Teja Chimudapati signing off. Have a good one.